He's going to lose goal line carries. He's going to finish with 23 carries for 98 yards, zero touchdowns, zero catches.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized,
hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field.
So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to our very first official podcast of 2019. I am Nick Trek, and joining me, guys, all the way from sunny San Francisco, he's got himself a nice Friday planned out for himself. But first, he's graced us with his presence. Nick Walsh. Walsh, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm really excited to be here. At first, I was like, how'd you know it was sunny? But it is sunny, and you can kind of see it in the back of the camera, so that makes sense to me now. But dude, I'm doing great. I am so excited to be back. It's time to start talking about fucking fantasy football, dude. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm living the dream. I got to see you guys back in Jersey, the whole squad back together. It felt like $1 million, and I know that tonight already I'm getting that feeling back. It's fantasy football time. I'm wearing my Chiefs shirt. I am ready to go, and you almost faced an entire bottle of wine before the episode started, so I know that we are ready to rock and roll. And for the record, I do know that it was only a drop left in the bottle of Walsh, but for the effect, facing a bottle of wine sounds way better to kick off the first episode of 2019. But you ready to do it?
Yeah, man, let's do it. I'm pumped up.
Let's do it. Let's talk some fantasy football. Guys, I know it's early. It's June 6th. This will be dropping to you the Friday morning, June 7th. So just as a heads up, we are starting division previews next week. We know it sounds early and it sounds crazy, but the offseason always catches up with us and everybody else, and then we run out of time in August. So next week, we're going to kick division previews off. We will let you wait and see what division that's going to be, and we'll let you know ahead of time so you can send in some questions, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever your fancy is. But keep the questions coming. We've got quite a few here today, Walsh. And before we get to those, though, let's talk about some interesting news stories. And when we say interesting, they're ones that have kind of grabbed our interest because there's been a lot that's gone on this offseason, the draft, and lots of moves and trades, et cetera. But these are the big ones that impact us now. And they have a lot of our fantasy questions coming in or around them. And I think there are none bigger right now, Walsh, than Todd Gurley. Who was a stud and really through week 12, give or take, on fire, and then obviously gets hurt. And here we are. We hear now he's not going to be getting the workload that he was getting. According to Ian Rappaport, he said his days as a straight up every down bell cow are probably over. Scary statement.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And it's so wild to like realize that Todd Gurley is 24 years old and like this is like, it feels like the guy's been around forever, but it's really unfortunate because this is, you know, someone who was in many cases and deservedly so the number one overall pick in most fantasy drafts last year. So you're looking at a situation where the Rams are saying he's okay, we've got a plan for him, we're working through it, all these sorts of things, and they're saying these things to comfort you. But the actions that they're taking do not match the words. So they say these things, and then Malcolm Kelly gets a restricted free agent tender. They match it to keep Malcolm Kelly.
Yep.
You would think if Todd Gurley is 100%, they're not matching that shit.
Yep.
And then the draft comes around. They trade up to draft Darrell Henderson, who a lot of people think is, you know, one of the best backs in this draft class. But they're trading up for a running back. So that, again, just does not see eye to eye with Todd Gurley being okay and them having 100% confidence in him to really carry them through this season. So I am very worried about Todd Gurley going into the year. He's currently being drafted in the second round, I believe.
Yep.
You know, maybe that pays off. At this point, I'm not buying into Todd Gurley this year unless he falls significantly further than what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, well, if we're talking the fourth pick in the second round, he's the 10th running back off the board right now, guys. Remember, all of our ADPs come courtesy of Fantasy Football Calculator, guys, 10-team leagues. So just keep that in mind. We throw them out there. We won't always reference it. But, yeah, scary stuff. You know, like you said, they're also saying certain things to us, but then you have the GM Snead saying third-round pick Darrell Henderson gives the team an Alvin Kamara element. Obviously – That's a great thing for Daryl Henderson. But if you're a Gurley owner or someone who's thinking about Gurley, you know, that's high praise. Like you said, for someone they traded up for, someone that everyone kind of represented as the guy. And I just want to see where he's actually going in drafts right now. He's coming off the board, Walsh, fourth pick in the eighth round, 77 overall. I think that's going to continue to rise this offseason. Hopefully we see Gurley come a little bit the other way. Because like you said, I can't pay for Gurley right now. It's I'm terrified.
Yeah, it's really scary. And I mean, like, Henderson is going in the same area as guys like Lamar Miller and Tevin Coleman, who, while they don't have, you know, every down roles, these are guys who like have pretty much established roles for the most part. So you can see the upside that people like in Henderson. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of things that still need to happen. So I'm not really going to weigh in on his ADP at this point in the offseason, but, but it's very, very interesting. And I'm, you know, the preseason and camp and all that is going to matter a lot when it comes to this Rams backfield.
Absolutely. And I one question I have for you, Walsh, is for dynasty owners. We talk about we're season long guys here, but lots of people in dynasty. If you own Todd Gurley, are you looking to move him, or you got to wait it out now, hoping he comes back and does keep more of that workload and keep some of his value? Because I think right now, if someone's trying to get him, you can get him decently cheap. And I talk relatively, but for Todd Gurley, with the hope that maybe he does keep 70% of the workload, which would be great. You know, we don't need him at 85%. Even if he's getting 17 touches a game, that's, you know, as long as he's healthy, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, 100%. I think in Dynasty, I'm holding whether I have him, and I'm not really looking to trade for him either. You know, this is a guy, I said before, he's 24. He has a lot of tread on his tires for a 24-year-old, and a lot of injury history at this point. And the situation that we just really don't know how it's going to play out. So for me, if I have him, I'm not taking the low ball offers that are offered to me. And if I don't have him, maybe I'm trying to lowball for him, but like, and maybe catch someone panicking, but like, I'm not paying par value right now for Todd Gurley if I do not have him.
All right. I am on board with that, Walsh. And let's move on. Let's move away from Todd Gurley and let's move over to my Kansas City Chiefs. A lot of things going on there in the last 12 months for them. But most recently, the Tyreek Hill saga continues. He is not currently practicing or with the team. Obviously, no charges have come in the child abuse, non-abuse situation and the domestic stuff kind of going on out there. But there's a lot of potential fallout here for Tyreek Hill, for the Chiefs, and for the other guys on the Chiefs. He was that big speed breakaway kind of guy there for Patrick Mahomes. And continue to open up the field for the rest of that offense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a tough situation. I'm kind of operating under the assumption that Tyreek Hill has played his last snap as a Chief, and, you know, potentially his last snap in the NFL. I think justice would say it should be the last snap in the NFL based on, I mean, you know, obviously there's no convictions at this point. You can't say for certain he did things, but we have a well-documented history of Tyreek Hill not being necessarily the best person for a long time now, going back to his college days.
Yes.
So there's a pattern of behavior. It's not very difficult to follow it. Based on the way the Chiefs treated Kareem Hunt, I would say, you know, this is something where you got to get rid of him, even if he is allowed to play. You know, Tyreek Hill is much more important to the team than Kareem Hunt was, so we'll see how they deal with that in terms of on-field production. But it's notable that the Chiefs did draft a player who is, you know, potentially the replacement for Tyreek Hill. Not that anyone can do that. Tyreek Hill is a player the likes of we maybe have never seen in the NFL before in terms of his efficiency for the amount of targets and the kind of routes that he runs. But they did draft Mecole Hardman, who, you know, is in that vein of Tyreek Hill, Brandon Cooks, these types of guys, the small speedster to try and get behind the defense, blow the top off. So they're clearly preparing for life without Tyreek Hill going forward.
Yep.
And like I said, no one's going to replace him, but you know, you would think some sort of combination of Mecole Hardman and maybe DeMarcus Robinson would be able to do something there.
Yeah. And like you said, once they went and drafted Mecole Hardman, they, you know, the belief was, that they went and got their quote unquote Tyreek Hill replacement. And like you said, you can't necessarily replace, but you do your best you can. And I think he'll be okay to fill that role. Andy Reid said that Harbin got a little better each day at rookie minicamp. Obviously, coach speak, you hope they get better every day. But again, he's a rookie. It's going to take time to kind of fall into that system. Obviously, it helps to have Patrick Mahomes at the helm. You have Travis Kelce there to kind of draw some of that attention. Sammy Watkins, we'll see if he can stay healthy. There's a lot of different kind of pieces here. Damian Williams, who I believe holds on to that starting running back job as well. They have a lot of great pieces, but losing Tyreek Hill is definitely going to be a blow. I hope that Hardman can be the speedster that, you know, I'm talking as a biased Chiefs fan, that they believe he can be to replace Tyreek Hill, just to get behind defenses and keep them a little more honest, because with that, you keep Kelce coming across the middle, gives Damian Williams some opportunities down below, and they don't have to stack the box. And who knows with Sammy Watkins, I'd like to say that he will stay healthy and kind of be that guy. But losing your number one hurts. There's no question about it.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. You know, if there's anyone who can get past this sort of thing, or any offense that can get past it, I think it's the Chiefs. They just have so many talented players and such good offensive minds behind the offense, but remains to be seen.
Yeah, it definitely does. Lots to come here. I agree. I think he has played his last snap as a Chief. We'll see again what happens in the NFL, but we'll see. Tyreek Hill, though, while still coming off the board at number 68, sixth pick in the seventh round. So he's going in around the likes of Tyler Boyd, DJ Moore, Evan Ingram, Alshon Jeffrey. So that's kind of his neighborhood right now. Obviously, it's June 6th. We'll have to wait and see how that plays out as we get more news, or don't. But this will definitely be rectified, I think, by the time you go into fantasy drafts. I don't think there's a question on that front. And Walsh, let's move on. Let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals. Kingsbury to the Cards. They draft Kyler and get two new wide receivers. Could we see a David Johnson rebound? I know you are a David Johnson guy. You're shaking your head a little bit. I'm not sure what to take here.
So I'm having a hard time. Like, I keep having to tell myself to not get too excited about the Cardinals, and then I get too excited about the Cardinals because I've been burned by this kind of stuff before. Like the Titans last year, obviously, like, you know, they bring in a new coach. I'm like all over it. But look, like, fucking Kingsbury, you know, we know he wasn't a great recruiter in college. I think he was bad at the stuff that a college coach needs to be good at. That's like not the on-field stuff was sort of my take on him in college. I think X's and O's wise, he's a very innovative guy. We know he wants to spread out the field, run this high tempo offense. You know, a lot of people who are, I respect their opinions a lot about football, are saying that the Cardinals are going to lead the NFL and maybe set an NFL record for most snaps in four wide receiver sets. You mentioned them drafting those two receivers, Hakeem Butler and Andy Isabella. Is it Butler or is it right? Yeah, Hakeem Butler.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really, really, really like this offense. I think Kyler has a chance to, you know, immediately do the Mahomes thing where he sort of comes in and becomes such like a fantasy asset in a different way than Mahomes, but, you know, with the leg production and that sort of thing. But in a way that, you know, like right now, I think he's quarterback 11 going off the board, that sort of thing. And I think that's going to rise all summer and get to somewhere around like quarterback 6 by the time we actually get to drafts.
Okay.
I don't think you're reaching on him at that point. I am like very in on this offense. I'm very in on David Johnson again. You know, until I see evidence to the contrary, it could be a mistake, but I'm suckered in. I'm just can't stop myself.
Well, you know what, Walsh, all I'm going to say is this, you know, I haven't seen it with the Tennessee Titans and you, I haven't seen it with you and the Miami Dolphins. You know, so it's, this is the first love affair, but I mean, if he gets up to QB6, yeah, he's coming off 11, fourth pick in the 10th round right now. And we know that you love QB late, so it will not shock me if you own a lot of Kyler if he stays a little bit in the later rounds. Now I'll ask this then, you do love him, it sounds like, at least early on so far. Is this something where you would be willing to break away from your QB super late if he went up to 6?
No. I mean, like, unless I can get him at a good value, I'm not taking him. And we'll get into this a little bit later when we talk about you know, general draft strategy for positions, but there's so much fucking QB value late in the draft. So, you know, if Kyler's sitting there around like round 9, round 10, like, yeah, sure, I'll go after that. But until then, I'm not worried about it. I just like, it's so easy for me to picture like, you know, one of those like typical Kyler at Oklahoma plays where he just like scrambles out of the pocket, like bombs one deep or like rushes for like 40 yards in the preseason or some shit like that. Yep. And like overnight, his ADP is up 2 rounds, you know, it's like you can just see it happening so clearly.
We see it every year. We see the guy break the 70 yard run. He catches the, you know, the defense is sleeping in the preseason and goes for an 85 yard touchdown. And it's like you said, the ADP immediately skyrockets. So I agree. We definitely, could be seeing that happen this offseason, but until then, we will wait and see. Someplace Walsh that's not quite as beautiful and sunny as Arizona right now is the New York Jets. Quite frankly, things seem to be going the opposite direction as they fire the GM. There's media reports all over the place that they didn't. Well, head coach did not want Gase, did not want Le'Veon Bell there, or at least to pay him all that money. Despite the fact Le'Veon Bell is there, they're a mess of a franchise, as you put it here in the notes, and I think it's a great way to put it. But we could see some fantasy production out of them, namely with Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I'm at sort of like I'm butting heads in on like my opinion with myself, like on this, like I'm just kind of punching my fists together. Cause on one hand, you've got this terribly run franchise. I have no confidence in Adam Gase to be a coach that can extract fantasy value from players because he never did that in Miami. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you've got Sam Darnold who, was spectacular. Like the last 6 or 7 weeks of the season just really came on, and threw some great passes, had some great games. That game against the Packers that you were at, yes, that game, right?
Yes. Incredible game.
It was just a shootout. And you know, like he has weapons. He has, yep, really good weapons. He has Robbie Anderson, who we know is a good receiver. They brought in Jamison Crowder to play the slot. They brought in Le'Veon Bell, obviously, who, you know, we know is a stud. We know can be used in the passing game, all these things. And then second year tight end Chris Herndon. It's rare that tight ends produce in their first year, and Chris Herndon was legitimately a fantasy viable tight end as a rookie. So guys like that are guys you need to keep your eye on. Yep. So on one hand, it's like, man, this franchise is a complete mess. And on the other hand, it's just like, they theoretically should have a lot of great options and a potentially very potent offense. I'm kind of going to need some more of the offseason to figure out which hand ends up higher in the air for me.
I am with you, Walsh. The opportunity should be there, like you said, for these guys with the weapons that they have. But Adam Gase terrifies me. One, the pictures that I see of him posted in the media freaks me out. Two, we haven't seen it on the field in the production of his guys. Maybe it's that he hasn't had the talent. And now that he does, like you said, the franchise seems to not trust him. They do have the talent. So I see the internal battle here. You know, I mean, Le'Veon Bell's coming off the board, 9th pick in the first round, number 9 overall, running back 7. And like you said, he's going to be involved on the ground, in the air. I think he's obviously the quote unquote safest fantasy production coming out of the Jets organization at this point. But the rest of it, I don't know, man. Gase just, He scares me right now. I can't get on board with the full upside of the Jets on June 6th.
Yet, also with Le'Veon Bell, the fact that he is going a pick ahead of, or a couple picks ahead of, James Conner, his former teammate, is insane to me. I would much rather have Conner. So I'm not even as high on Bell, I think, as some people.
Okay. Well, you know, again, I can't, you know, you're splitting hairs, I feel like, at the top here. But yeah, take James Conner, and I mean, I probably won't own any of Le'Veon Bell, but because of Gase's scary eyes, but he does, I don't know, something about him. It's one of those weird feelings. Just like the guy on Jeopardy that just lost, didn't like him either.
No, was it his weird smile?
Yeah, just got me, man. Just a weird feeling. Like that guy could be a serial killer one day, or he could be a super nice guy. I don't know. I'm never gonna meet him.
Fair enough.
But on TV, the smile got to me. But We're going to have to wait and see and let the Jets play out, Walsh. I think, like you said, you don't even know where we're going, and I think right now a lot of people are in the same boat, myself included. But with that, Walsh, the other guy we have on here, we're going to wait and talk about because we had a reader question come in. It's about Odell and the Browns. We're going to talk about them as a whole in just a little bit. So let's move on to some general draft strategy stuff. You know, where we're kind of looking to go, nothing super in depth, but you know, I hit on it before with you. QB is typically a late move for you, extremely late, sometimes the last guy in our leagues to even own a QB.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's at this point, Mahomes is the first quarterback being taken at the end of the third round. Like, I'm never going to take a quarterback at the end of the third round. I know Mahomes is great. I know even with some regression, like he can be one of the highest scoring fantasy players and all that good stuff. You're just giving up so many shots at other things. So it's one of those where as we go down and look through some of the names here that are going late, like, you know, past like, you know, Kyler, Cam Newton, you even have guys that I really like Lamar Jackson is the 22nd quarterback off the board. Are you kidding me? Like, Lamar Jackson got enough production on the ground to be a starting quarterback in fantasy last year. I think they're going to open up that offense a little bit more in the pass game. Like, I'm all over him at that point. Jimmy Garoppolo is going later. He's a guy who last year everyone was psyched on. He was going as quarterback 8. Besides him being injured and out the whole year, it's like a better situation there than it was last year. But he's going way later. You've got guys like Josh Allen. Josh Allen was a fantasy stud towards the end of the year, not necessarily because he's great, but because he was willing to take chances with his legs and take chances down the field with his arm. Now you got a guy like John Brown in there, and you know, you still have Robert Foster to throw down the field to. That intrigues me. Mitch Trubisky is going back there. Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott. Like, these are all guys that I'm comfortable starting matchup to matchup. I just don't see any reason to really pay up for anyone when I can get those guys in the double digit rounds.
Yeah. I mean, Walsh, I'm with you. I mean, you even look at Phillip Rivers coming off at, he's like the, let's say 11, 12, 13, 14th QB off the board. I mean, he's obviously a little bit higher up than some of the guys you've kind of thrown out there, but still we see him time and time again. I mean, he's hot and cold, but he does, when Phillip is hot, as much as I hate him, he's hot. There's a lot of opportunity. I preach that I believe in QB late. And most of the time I do. But sometimes I get a little too, I let my emotions get the best of me, as I think a lot of fantasy football players do. And when I watch a guy slide a little bit, all of a sudden I start moving away from my strategy a little bit. And it's something that has hurt me and burned me in the past. You know, as we talk strategy, I do support QB late. It is my methodology and my belief to do it. But sometimes my emotions get the best of me. I watch guys fall down the board a little bit. Russell Wilson, I've done it multiple years. I've watched him fall. And I'm like, ooh, that's just, the price seems too good. And then he starts slow and has a good second half like he usually does. So again, I kind of keep going back and getting burned more than once by the same guy. So shame on me. But you know, we'll talk about draft strategy and kind of sticking to your guns. Obviously something I struggle with a little bit, but I do believe the sentiment of QB late.
Yeah. And I mean, you're not entirely wrong to like look at guys sliding and be like, oh, there's value here. You know, I think one of the things that I hate about drafting a quarterback early is that it does mentally kind of lock you in. Like you said, like you draft Russell Wilson a little bit early and you're like, well, this is my guy. I spent this draft capital on him. I can't get rid of him right now. And then all of a sudden you've got, you know, Jameis Winston against the second worst pass defense in the league on the waiver wire. And you're like, no, I got to stick with my guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a tough road to walk because in a lot of leagues have wised up to quarterback, you know, not every, like your work league that you play in, you know, isn't necessarily gonna, you know, have Andrew Luck going in the eighth round of every draft, but you know, maybe a league that takes it a bit more seriously is going to. So it's a tough line to walk, and I'm sure we'll talk about it a lot going into the season. But overall, I think we're kind of on the same page on that sort of thing.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, Walsh, when we talk about first round picks and kind of starting early, You know, do you follow a methodology behind that you need to leave the first two rounds, three rounds with a stud running back, a stud wide receiver, or you kind of play it as the board falls to you? You know, do you lock yourself in the positions there, or do you play it as you kind of see the board goes? Round one, you can usually kind of plan out for the most part, unless something crazy happens. You have a pretty good idea. Hey, these three guys are going to be available in my spot. I'm happy with these guys. But the rest of the way, you know, are you locked in? Some people want a running back, wide receiver, tight end. You see crazy stuff. What's your mindset when you go into drafts?
Yeah, I'm letting the board kind of dictate where I go. Even in that first round, like if there's a huge difference between being the third pick and being the 11th pick, you know, I think if you're the 11th pick, I don't think it's out of line to do something like take two wide receivers. If you're the third pick and you're not taking one of those top four running backs, what the fuck are you doing? You know, it's a very, very different thing just sort of based on where you are. So you got to let that board fall to you. I mean, like, even in cases like depending on your league size, how people value things and whether you can play tight end and flex, like I don't think sitting at the turn and going Kelce Ertz is like a bad strategy. You know, it's like there's a lot of like interesting things you can do.
Don is smiling so wide right now. Yeah, hearing you say that at the first and second round swing, he is going to be screaming when he listens to this podcast.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, it's one of those where, you know, I think if you're at the top of the first round and you're not taking one of those elite running backs, because they're just so rare, you know, sometimes you see guys vaunt into that elite running back conversation, like we saw Christian McCaffrey do this last year. That's rare. That's not something that happens every year. For the most part, these elite guys, we know who they are and we know where they're coming from. So you need to invest in them. But beyond that, I think you can do a lot of different things just based on how your draft falls, what people in your league prefer, and your scoring system even can make differences. So, there's a lot of flexibility there past those first couple picks.
Yeah, I agree, Walsh. I mean, as a whole, I think you got to let the board dictate. You go in with a plan, but kind of roll with it. And like you said, you have to find out what your league values, what it doesn't. You know, do you give bonus points to QBs and do you play in a 2QB league? That changes, you know, your rules and everything are going to change it, obviously, but as a whole, play the board. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I always like to leave with at least one running back out of the top three. It'll usually kill me if I don't leave with one. And again, that can be a detriment to me as well as I pass on other guys or force myself. But that depends year to year on how the board looks. Sometimes you see the running back landscape fall off very quickly. So you got to play how you kind of see that those tiers, we'll call it, kind of fall apart. But again, play the board, I think, is the best thing we could tell you.
Yeah, and that's one of those things how you're saying, you know, like, I need to leave the first three rounds with the running back. Like, that's fine to have that sort of thing. And then I think it's also a good idea to have, like, you know, sort of a plan in the background of just like, hey, if I don't leave the first three rounds with a running back, what am I doing? Like, I'm taking running backs rounds 4 through 8, you know, like, I'm just loading up, I'm throwing as many darts as I can. Cause you don't necessarily need to have the best players and there's no way to get the best players at each position. But if you don't get the best players at a position, or at least guys that you're comfortable starting every week, you want to make sure you have as many options that may pan out as possible as you continue forward.
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head. Do you have any other general draft strategy you kind of want to throw out to the people, or you want to jump into some questions?
One thing on tight ends, because I mentioned them earlier. Yep. I think once you get past those first two and maybe Kittle, like, fucking calm down. Don't take any others early. That's all I'm going to say.
Tight end roulette. Spin that fucking wheel. Spin that wheel. It's only fitting that it makes an appearance here in episode one. Spin that wheel. I agree with you. So let's move into question time and let's kick it off with the one, the only, the Ed's question of the week. Well, she says, I've got no second or third round picks this year, but 2 fifths and 2 sixths due to trades last year. Should this affect my draft strategy at all position wise or ceiling versus floor? Or should I just stick with the best player available?
So for me, I think it 100% should affect your draft strategy, because the fact that you have no second or third round picks means that you need to take guys with second or third round upside, you know, in the fifth and sixth round. So to me, rather than taking guys, you know, who are a known commodity, but I know don't have the upside to maybe be an RB1 or a wide receiver one. I'm taking guys that I think could become wide receiver one. I'm, you know, in the fifth round. Yeah, exactly. Like in the fifth round, I'm taking a Chris Godwin or a Tyler Lockett, a guy with, you know, a guy with the potential upside to really vaunt into that conversation, as opposed to a Jarvis Landry, who yep. I don't think is going to be a wide receiver one. At running back, maybe I'm taking Kenyon Drake over Chris Carson, because Kenyon Drake is a bit of an unknown. And you know, we don't know how he's going to be used in that Miami offense. Whereas I think we know exactly how Chris Carson is going to be used in the Seattle offense.
Yeah. Very frustratingly.
Yeah. Right. He's going to lose goal line carries. He's going to finish with 23 carries for 98 yards, zero touchdowns, zero catches. I think that's the idea, is maybe trying to spread your picks around guys who have the chance to maybe vaunt into that upper tier of players, as opposed to looking for safe players.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, I think you hit it kind of the nail on the head when you talked about, when we were just talking about draft strategy a minute ago, when I said, I kind of want to leave with a running back 1 through 3. And then you said, well, have a plan if you don't. And you kind of said, well, 4 through 8, I'm just going to load up on running backs because you only need a couple of them to pop. And I think that kind of applies here, where, like you said, you're going to load up on a bunch of guys where you don't need them all to pop. But if you hit on a couple of them to actually step up and fill that role, the value's there. You paid less. It kind of helps you out. And I think just in round one there, you have to make sure you nail that first round pick. And I think you got to stay away from someone that maybe has a little bit more of a question mark, if you can, obviously, depending on where you are in that first round. Just because you don't have the 2 and 3. And then you're playing on risk, you know, rounds 4, 5, 5, 6, 6. So I think you want a more of as sure of a thing as you can get in round one. I think that's your path there. Maybe a little less ceiling, a little more floor for me.
Yeah. And I would say, don't stop shooting for upside after that sixth round, like later rounds yep. too. Keep shooting for that upside. Give yourself as many outs at that upside as you can possibly get. Cause otherwise you're going to end up with a team that's okay, and that might make the playoffs, but unless you get real lucky, it's not going to win you a championship.
Yeah, you're not going to make that final push. And definitely leave QB late, especially giving up those picks.
Oh, yeah.
We were going to do that anyway, but, you know, hypothetically. Well, let's move on. This one comes in on Instagram from @NFLPicksPredictions. He says, what do you guys think about the Cleveland Browns hype? And this kind of tied right into what we were going to start talking about, Odell and the Browns. Everybody seems to be aboard the Browns train. A lot of talent down there, a lot of opportunity. You know, Baker is here to make it happen. Do you think that the Browns are worthy of the hype, or are they growing a little too big for the britches?
I'm in on it. You know, I'd love to be contrarian here, but I just can't do it. I think, besides the fact that you've got Baker, you know, going into his second year after such a stellar first year, you've got Odell as the new number one wide receiver. You've got Odell with his best quarterback potentially he's ever played with, depending on how good you thought Eli was a couple of years ago.
It's definitely his best QB. There's no question. Keep going.
You've got Landry underneath. You've got Njoku going into his second year. Nick Chubb was Pro Football Focus's number one rated running back of last year. Like, you've got Kareem Hunt as the fucking backup. Duke Johnson wants to be traded. He's still there. Oh, and also, you're bringing in Todd Monken as OC, which, like, I know that's not like a flashy hire. Todd Monken was the Bucs OC last year. The only reason he left was because Bruce Arians came in and wanted to bring in his own guy. Todd Monken, like, that passing offense was prolific with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston. So, like, what the fuck do you think he's going to do with a team that has a ton of talent on it? I'm very, very excited for this. For the Browns, I think they're really going to put it all together on offense, and I legitimately think they have the chance to be Super Bowl contenders this year.
Wow! I was with you all the way until the Super Bowl contender part. I was with you with being good. They were going to put the pieces together. The Super Bowl contender thing is a little rich for my blood.
Fair enough.
But I love the call. I love the boldness of it, Walsh, and you set it up perfectly as you kind of just ramped it up. And as I listen back tomorrow, I'm just going to be like, yeah, I believe in the Browns. The Browns. Go Browns. Oh, we're going to pump the brakes.
Pump the brakes there. Pump the brakes.
just for a second. but I otherwise, I agree. There's too many pieces. There's a lot of talent. I think the division is theirs to do with as they wish. And I think they're a playoff team. I won't say a Super Bowl contender, but maybe one and done. Maybe they win one. I don't know if they're ready for prime time. But look, I could be wrong. I thought the Chiefs kind of blew their shot last year. I think they caught everybody by surprise, and all the pieces just fell right. I don't know if they're going to get back this year. This could be the Cleveland Browns shot to take everybody by storm and just kind of do it. So you may be right, but I will not put any money on it on FanDuel Sportsbook.
So. Fair enough.
But Wallace, let's move on to our third question. It comes on Instagram from @Clayton78. He says, the most surprising fantasy quarterback, or in other words, the lowest ADP with the highest points at the end of the season. And we just talked about this. We talked about a lot of QBs with a lot of opportunity. I'm going to guess you're going to go Lamar Jackson here.
So I think that's the easy answer for me. So I'm going to throw in a bonus one because he's not even being drafted at this point, and I like him. Andy Dalton.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So I think Dalton's going to be a very good streamer this year as long as his weapons stay healthy, which, you know, is a pretty big if, but yeah, I'm in on the Bengals and I'm in on Andy Dalton. So I know Lamar Jackson is the obvious answer for me. So just to be a little bit off the board, we're going to go Dalton.
Okay. I mean, with the way the question's worded, Walsh, I mean, you're actually, it's a smart play considering his ADP is 24. And we're talking about who's going to climb from their ADP and put up the most points. So hypothetically, you set yourself up really well there. I don't know what, you know, Vinny and Don have over you, but you've now complimented Don and Vinny, in, you know, within minutes of each other. So, you know, we'll figure that out later, but
they have a bunch of my nudes saved on their phone and they're on their phones and they're threatening me if I don't say good things about their strategies.
Okay. Well, yeah, that makes sense. And in that regard, then I respect your decisions. And everything you're saying, although they can release them to the world, it's okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to cop out and take your Lamar Jackson answer, but, you know, the Andy Dalton one, not even on the board as an ADP. Lamar Jackson currently 19th QB off the board, third pick in the 14th round. So guess we'll wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
Ball on the Dalton train. Choo-choo. All right. Our final question, Wallace, comes in from @GarageGuyChase. He put this one out to a bunch of fantasy people on Instagram in a video and asked for a bunch of input. I told him I'm going to put it on the podcast and kind of get both of our viewpoints in here. But he says, who is a guy you are targeting this year that not a lot of other people are high on? State your case. And I don't know if you put in, you know, it's early, it's June 6th. I know I haven't done a total deep dive in a lot of these late round kind of guys. So we may be a little too early for a true answer here. But do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this question a lot before we started recording and kind of like looking through draft boards. And, you know, looking at guys who I thought really maybe had a chance to elevate. So the guy I'm going to go with is Geronimo Allison, who is currently the 10th pick in the 9th round. I'm high on the Packers offense this year. I mean, I think Davante Adams is rightfully going as a top wide receiver and in some cases the top wide receiver. We know he's going to get the volume. We know he's going to get a lot of touchdown opportunity. But Allison is a guy who from early reports is lining up in the slot. That's a good place to be. We like that because it leads to easy completions. And he's a guy who has chemistry with Rodgers. And we know that Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback who, even if guys produce with him, he doesn't necessarily like them unless he has that chemistry with him. We've seen guys like MVS last year had some great games and then kind of fell out of favor because Rodgers was apparently not happy with some of his routes, with some of his decision-making, whatever the case may be.
Yep.
Allison is a guy who has a couple of years worth of chemistry with Rodgers. We know he has that job in the slot. I really think he has a very good chance if Rodgers and he stay healthy, to really outperform that ninth round ADP.
Okay. I'm totally on board. You have me sold. I think I'm going to go with, and again, to say it's someone that people are not necessarily high on. It's June 6th, so I don't know if that's accurate, but I'm going to go with DeSean Jackson.
Wow.
11th pick in the 11th round. Spent the final 6 weeks of the season on the IR last year. Currently wide receiver 52. I think that's right. Yeah, 138 overall, number 52. Prior to that, he averaged 13.4 fantasy points per game. That would average him out to about 26th last year. I think he has a good shot to kind of get himself back on track. Does he finish 26th? I don't know. But the Philadelphia Eagles as a whole, I think there's opportunity there for DeSean Jackson.
That's a fair call. He's a guy that I haven't really put any sort of brain power into other than being like, huh, he's back with Philadelphia. He is a guy, you're completely right there. He's a guy who's historically has produced. He's in a high powered offense that doesn't have a ton of other wide receiver options. So yeah. You know what? I like that. I like that a lot.
Thank you. I will throw out, I did consider a little Greg Olsen, but tight end, we usually spin the wheel. I just think he's coming off the board, tight end 19. He was injured, but when he's healthy, he had three consecutive 1,000-yard seasons and five consecutive top seven fantasy finishes, which for tight end, if you get him late, not so shabby. But I'll stay with DeSean Jackson as my guy for now.
All right.
But there we go. There you have it, guys. That's going to be episode one of the 2019 season here with Nick and Nick. And it was great being back here with you, Walsh. I mean, I can't say it enough. Talking fantasy football, we're living the dream, quite frankly.
Oh yeah, dude, it's the best. This was a lot of fun, and I'm excited to keep doing this every week for the foreseeable future. So full speed ahead, let's do it.
Absolutely, guys. So starting next week, you're gonna get a division preview, and you're gonna get at least two episodes, guys, a week is the goal here going forward. Maybe even three if we're feeling a little frisky. We'll see what we can whip up. See if the DON is willing to grace us with his presence. And I have a feeling he's going to be super happy with this episode. So I have a feeling he'll be on here next week for a preview. But you're going to have to wait a little bit longer to find out what division we're going to preview first. Guys, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever social profiles you guys like. We're probably there. If not, tell us about it and maybe I'll get us on there. But follow us on Spotify. Give us a listen. And that's it. For Let's Talk Fantasy Football, I'm Nick Schreck. He's Nick Walsh. We'll catch you on the flip side.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.